My psychic senses are telling me that you are spiritually curious. I'm just kidding. If you found your way here, most likely you are interested or curious about energy, the secrets of the universe, the magic of the unseen. There's a lot of conflicting information out there about how to tune into energy beings properly, how to build your intuition, how to cleanse things, yada, yada, yada. I know how overwhelming it can be, so I created a one-stop shop for all of your spiritually curious, psychic expansive self-care needs where you can build your own spiritual practice with guidance, tools, and a safe place to explore your curiosities and connect to your intuition. There's a ton of crash courses covering topics ranging from meeting your spirit guides to trance channeling to manifesting. You get distance Reiki healings for a wide range of needs, such as moving through discomfort or support stepping into a new chapter, or even help calling in creativity. Subscribers get 15% off all full price services, a monthly group Zoom hangout where the weird is our normal. There are exclusive channeling videos, expansive conversations, guided meditations, movement meditations, weekly reflections, intuitive practices, this podcast ad-free and as a video, and so much more. New content is uploaded every week, so there's constantly new stuff for you to learn from, digest, and various practices to keep you grounded in your body. And all of this, might I add, is only $7 per month. So if you're ready to align to your best self and show up as your inner being, a priceless investment in yourself, you can head over to channelwithamber.com/subscribe to give it a peek. I'll see you over there. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to Diary of a Psychic Medium with me, Amber Amrine. Today, we're talking about being an empath and the messiness that is. My hope with this is to better process emotions, find the superpower in empathy, learn how to work with it rather than against it, and all that good stuff. So this is a love letter to my empaths out there. Here we go. Alrighty. So this is a conversation I feel like I've been needing to hear, so I just wanted to get my thoughts out and discuss it together. Let's discuss signs of being an empath before we dive in. So there are many signs that point to you being an empath, some of which include feeling things deeply, emotions, sickness, if you're watching a movie, if you're reading a story, like it's just your whole body, everything is just fully immersed in whatever experience you're having. You just feel things with your whole body. Empaths tend to be very understanding. Often, if somebody is telling them something they're struggling with, an empath will feel it more than the person telling them, yeah? So it's like if somebody is crying, the empath is crying right there with them, even if the situation has nothing to do with them. Empaths are very sensitive to people's moods and shifts in a space. If somebody walks in the door, they can usually tell what kind of mood they are, or if something weird happened in a room, like if there was a fight that had just happened, sometimes they can pick up on it. Empaths are very intuitive and very aware of the subtle shifts in people and in the environment. That being said, empaths are very sensitive to the energy in a space, so they can get very overwhelmed easily if there's a lot of people or a lot of things going on. There's just like too much and your system can get a little bit overloaded. Empaths tend to be very much in love with the little, like gentle, innocent things like animals and babies and plants and stuff, bugs. Their mood may shift without really understanding why, and this goes with an issue with boundaries, which we will discuss. Empaths oftentimes just take on other people's emotions. They just put themselves so much into other things and feel it so much and can mistake it for their own emotions. And if they are around very loud energies, sometimes they can accidentally adopt that, and then they might feel a little bit moody without really understanding why, or will get very drained quickly. empaths can be overstimulated quickly just because, again, they're just feeling things so deeply. They will not like being rushed, which we will talk about because that is something that I finally had an aha moment about and I feel like needs to be discussed. So we will talk about that at the end. And then empaths tend to be very sensitive to things like food, coffee, alcohol, etc. Their bodies require more of a gentle kind of a meal. They may get indigestion a lot or gas or, you know, all that fun stuff. I am an empath. I experience every emotion, every sensation, everything with every fiber of my being. When I feel too much, I get very frustrated and have a bad habit of going down this self-hatred path. When I was younger, I was very, very, and I've always been hyper self-aware, but I go through these periods where I'm very hyper self-aware. If I'm feeling something, I understand that, like, it came from this past experience, which is causing this feeling, which is causing this, like, association with something. Like, I look for the reason for everything. And then I would try to shift and move out of it. Like, oh, my period's starting. I'm a little bit more sensitive. This reminds me of this, which is why I'm acting like this. Okay, let's get over it. We know that it's not current. It's rooted in the past, whatever. Move on. The issue with that is we're human and we are meant to feel things. That is part of the human experience. And I would lose touch with that. And I was just constantly like pushing emotions away and would really judge myself if I felt something, which was weird. So this changed when I was about 16, and I was taking guitar lessons by this family friend who had also been sexually abused as a kid, and I've spoken about him before, I think, in my trauma podcast way back, but he has helped me move through things more than anybody. And one thing he would always tell me is, like, just feel. It's okay to feel. Feel the emotion, you know, it's okay. And I found myself recently kind of getting back into that hyper self-aware state. Anytime I felt something, it's like, okay, why am I feeling this? How can I shift it? Why am I feeling this? How can I shift it? I just had a subscriber Zoom, the group Zoom earlier today. And one of the people in the Zoom was saying how, like, even with manifesting, there's this fixation of, like, only having positive thoughts and only feeling the good stuff and, like, pushing everything else away. And obviously that's a issue with, like, spiritual bypassing and the sense of, like, toxic positivity or whatever. It is important to feel good and prioritize those good emotions, but the fact of the matter is we're human. Not everything is a trauma response, and that's a revelation I made yesterday. When I'm feeling things, maybe it's because I actually have an opinion on it, and it's not just a trauma response. It's okay. We're human. We feel things. It's fine. The issue is we can't give it power, but we need to acknowledge it, and we need to kind of have it part of the conversation because there's a lot of information stored in there that it would be a disservice for us to completely ignore, which is what influenced this whole desire to make this episode. A lot of times I feel like a wild animal. My ex would say that as well, that it's like the way that I eat or just the mannerisms I have can be very animalistic. I was alone a lot growing up, so I feel like for a lot of things, I feel like I just, it almost feels like a raised by wolves situation a lot. And in terms of emotions, there's been this feeling of, like, just running in this fight or flight mode. And looking at, I've got two cats now, which I talked about before. And one of them is really outgoing and open to new opportunities, open to shifting, like, just very laid back. You know, making the most of the situation. It was scary being in the car to come here and stuff. And, you know, he was uncomfortable and he was meowing. But for the most part, he's just chill, like, whatever, you know, cool. Whereas Forrest is a lot more timid, was a lot more scared, took a long time to get acclimated. His body tenses up a lot. And in observing them, I was seeing how much more beneficial it can be just on your psyche and on your body to be more laid back, like Pan, you know, just kind of trusting, making the most of the situation. If something funky comes up, okay, then let's address it at that point, but not like allowing anxious thoughts or intrusive thoughts to get in the way. Whereas with Forrest, he was really going through it. And it's like, you know, I get it, it's uncomfortable, but we're here to help you and love you and feed you and take care of you. And we're going to try our best to like prove that to you, but you're going to kind of go through hell until you just let yourself lighten up, you know, and just make the most of the current circumstances. So I started to try to really embody Pan's energy a lot, just a very carefree, like, whatever. But naturally, I've had feelings come up, and I started to see the beauty and the balance and the importance of sensitivity and of being a Forrest sometimes. So the other day, I was laying in bed. This was two nights ago. I was thinking about this wild animal thing and how I literally feel like fight or flight. Like I feel like a wild animal. And I had a panic attack all of a sudden, and it felt very empty. Nothing had triggered me. It was very peculiar. I just had this weird anxiety attack all of a sudden. And I was thinking about it the following morning, yesterday morning. And in talking to a friend and stuff, I realized that there's just this sense of energy coming up that's like, just feel things, like be a wild animal, be react to things. There's a difference. I think I'm scared of reactive behavior. I don't want to like act from the past or like bring in old stuff or like, you know, I want to approach everything very responsive and like emotionally intelligent. But the issue is I'm going too much in that side that I'm losing sight of just normal feelings and the value they hold. So I've been more quote unquote reactive, which for me is still very like watered down. But I'm just allowing myself to feel things and state that I'm uncomfortable and state that, hey, this is how I feel about it, instead of constantly doing the inner work to like shift myself around other people's stuff, which has been very freeing. So I've been really embodying my like inner wild animal. And if I feel like I need to be a lion and roar at somebody, then roar, you know, it's coming from a grounded place rather than like this frenzied fear place. So this might be all over the place because this is a bit of a word vomit. In thinking about all of this wild animal stuff, I started thinking about words. Words are obviously man-made. Animals don't speak, but words only reflect a very small, like, a piece of a specific experience. It's meant to communicate a certain idea, a certain expression of whatever. But words are highly limiting and can hide so much of what is actually behind a message. If somebody is reacting out of fear, or if somebody is trying to express love to somebody or whatever it is, there may be a lot of unspoken things that are behind that experience, a lot of fears, a lot of hopeful excitement bits, whatever. You know, there's just a lot of information that is in an experience that somebody is trying to verbally express. And I got this feeling that I needed to start connecting to the full picture and keeping my emotions active to fully experience the message trying to be told to me, rather than just listening with my ears and digesting with my brain. Like, I needed to bring my emotions in, respond to the experience of what they're actually trying to say, the root of it, allow my emotions to kind of also influence or bring up certain aspects that may be kind of hidden in the surface or things that may need to be moved through for myself. I'm just allowing myself to kind of listen with my whole body. If you're driving a car, and like I said this in the last podcast episode, if you're driving a car, rather, If you are allowing your emotions to take control of you and you are not rooting them in anything and just letting them go haywire, very reactive, just feeling stuff and not really sure where it's coming from, you're essentially at the hands of a drunk driver. Yeah? If you label your emotions, feel it, label it, understand it, understand the root of what you're feeling, where it's coming from maybe, but just get an idea of what it is. Find the perfect word for it. That control it has over you subsides. It becomes a passenger while you are in the driver's seat. Now, if you completely take the emotions out of the car, you are severely limiting your perception or your understanding or your connection to a specific situation. Emotions hold incredible value, and understanding and picking up those subtle nuances of human behavior, of environmental shifts, of energetic possibilities, it is essentially our intuition. So if you completely have your emotions out of the car, you are completely cutting yourself off. So it's important to have a really nice balance between them. Sometimes if you are not used to feeling emotions, or it just feels like a messy emotion, you're going to feel a little stupid. And just because you feel stupid doesn't mean you are stupid. It's important to just feel uncomfortable for a moment so that you can have a handle on those emotions and be back in the driver's seat. Going back to the car analogy, or even the wild animal analogy rather, animals do not speak. They just feel, and they maneuver around each other through more of an intuitive body language. You know, it's more embodied, a more of an embodied experience, because they can't verbalize things. Speak of the devil, we got a little pan over here. That is very helpful. However, obviously we see how much more beneficial having words can be to our experience as a human. If we were mute, there's only so much we can express, and, you know, there's a marriage that needs to happen between just understanding the full picture and being very physically present in a conversation, as well as being aware of how words focus in on certain details. Emotional intelligence, so coming to the place where we are able to find a good balance in how we digest and maneuver through emotions, allows us to build healthy relationships. It increases trust, it increases optimism, increases confidence and self-expression, success, empathy, connections with others, prevents conflicts, promotes understanding, creates responsive decision-making, opens the door for transformation. Emotional intelligence is so important in order to have a handle on who you are, who your soul is, and how to really go about stepping into that, how to connect to others. It just, like, all in all keeps you very present and in control. One way to kind of help you begin feeling more present in your body, in your experiences, is to, there's a podcast I was listening to, and I've never heard it said this way, but they had said to listen with the back of your neck. So if, when you're having a conversation with somebody, just have your awareness in the back of your neck, it almost like leans you forward and your whole body kind of becomes more activated. So listen to them with your posture. When you're going through your day today, because it's not always in conversations, it's just when you're sensitive to things, you're going to feel shifts in your environment, you're going to see something, see an image, and it's going to invoke some sort of emotional response. But if you are just active in your body, allowing your whole body to experience the world just as your ears do when you're going about your day, and, you know, you're hearing sounds, you're not conscious of it, it's just constantly feeding information, or you're seeing things constantly, or you're feeling temperature changes, wind, whatever, on your skin. It's the same thing. But bringing your emotional body into the conversation and allowing it to feed you information in the background really helps you just have more of a handle on your environment. It brings you more into an intuitive sense. And again, it allows for emotional intelligence, which I just listed off the many ways that it is beneficial. Because emotions can really take over our experience, what's important is giving
yourself certain tasks to do each day or certain practices to allow the excess noise of it to go away so that you can just really hone in on the like root information and not get caught up in any kind of weird emotional rabbit hole that it leads you down. The same way, again, looking at your senses. If you're walking down the street and you're hearing obviously this depends on the situation, but if you're hearing a sound that is nice, then it's like, okay, cool, that's a nice sound. You keep going. Doesn't really matter. If you're going and you hear somebody's voice or something that makes you uncomfortable, ooh, I don't really like that sound. Okay, keep going. It's going to pass. You know, we aren't married necessarily to the sound itself. But with emotions, sometimes we can get very married to what we're feeling. So the more that you practice being very active in your body and allowing your emotional body to just be with you through the day, it kind of begins to, things kind of come and go a little bit easier, just as the other senses experience things. It doesn't become as married to it. It's just more of like an in the moment kind of thing. And then as you change rooms or whatever, that feeling subsides and you can let it go a little bit easier. All right. So movement is very important. Emotion is energy in motion. So the more that you are moving, the more you are allowing yourself to release surface energies, any pent-up energies, just anything that needs to go, that's just kind of floating and causing unnecessary excess chaos. For me, as you guys know, I go on my walks every day, I dance, I will park my car further away from the house just to give myself a little bit more time to, like, you know, walk or whatever, even just walking around the house while I'm on the phone, just any kind of movement, exercise, whatever you need to do, give yourself time to move every day, even if it's just a quick shake off. The more you move, the more you release energy. Especially if you are empathic, you really need to let those pent up energies go. Otherwise, they are going to make you feel really tired. It's just like extra sand in your body that is just going to weigh you down. So make sure you move. Second thing is to ground. Make sure you ground every day. Put your bare feet on the earth in the sand. Just go outside and imagine roots streaming down from your root chakra at the base of your spine into the earth. Be aware of your feet. Imagine ocean water coming and like flowing at your feet. There are so many different ways to ground. I think I've done podcast episodes on it. I know I did a crash course on my subscription, but you could Google it. Grounding is obviously very common now, but just grounding is very important to bring you back to your body and release those pent-up energies. The Earth's energy, Mother Earth, is very nurturing and nourishing. It clears up free radicals in our bodies. It like literally has a physical effect. So having access to her and having her nourish our system is very, very easy, free, and effective. Boundaries are really important. Putting up protective bubbles, those are my favorite, as you guys probably know. Putting one up in the morning, putting one up in the afternoon, putting one up at night. Whenever you feel vulnerable, just really use those protective bubbles. Call in your spirit guides. Get those bubbles up. Because empaths are so empathic, they are so open to the experiences of other people and things. It's very normal to have bad boundary setting practices. So by placing a boundary, essentially you are establishing where your energy field ends and the next person's or thing's begins. That way there is not a taking on. You're not taking on their energy, taking on that baggage. Rather, you're just having a conversation and exploring something, but you yourself are not becoming that. That is when it can just really take a toll on you. You'll feel drained. You'll feel hyper emotional. It just makes everything a lot more intense. Give yourself time to experience you and to experience life. Fall in love with yourself. Take yourself on a date. Get dressed up, you know, go out. Just spend time getting to know who you are away from people and things that are familiar. Allow yourself to rediscover new things about you. Maybe if you've been shifting, like, what is this version of you like? Or how does this version of you want to express themselves? Or, you know, like, allow yourself to just be and Yeah, just fall in love with yourself. Take care of yourself. You know, really prioritize that self-love and stuff. Another method, and this is more of a intention-setting thing, but it's very beneficial, is to simply just commit to embracing your sensitivity. You know, it's like a mantra. I commit to embracing my sensitivity. I promise I will be patient and open to the process. Repeat that to yourself every morning or when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. It just kind of re-centers the emotions to understand that you are worthy of being understood, that you are worthy of feeling. There's a purpose behind all of it. You know, it's okay to feel. Find people similar or that, you know, people you look up to and just kind of observe how they handle things. You know, it's very helpful seeing active examples of different ways of processing difficult things so that you can implement that information moving forward, you know, and find coping tools and strategies that may resonate with you better than ones that you currently have. Talking to people is also beneficial to just let out that excess energy and gain new perspective. So finding a spiritual community, talking with friends. I used to send voice notes to my friends all the time, just kind of a word vomit talking about the day. I have a couple friends now. We will talk like once a week or so just to talk about like shifts we've been going through, how we're working through them. You know, if they have any intuitive information about it, they will share and vice versa. It's just nice having somebody to kind of bounce ideas off of. I like to walk and do audio notes. I really feel like it just helps me make new connections. So just being able to speak is really important, and again, having somebody on the other end to share revelations and just kind of explore certain concepts in new ways is very helpful. Practice gratitude. That's going to help you just feel more safe to explore and to feel in this world. You know, make a gratitude journal. At the end of every day, list 5 things you were grateful for as you're going about your day. Just notice things that are bringing you joy and just send them gratitude, you know, send them love for being there. It just helps amplify that positive energy to help promote positive change, positive momentum. Again, it makes you feel safe to feel, which will essentially also allow you to feel safe to implement changes if you want to explore new coping strategies and stuff like that. Going with that, you want to find positives in bad events. If something weird happens, if you're empathic and you just feel things deeply, whether you get sick or you physically hurt yourself or you're just in a weird situation, you're going to feel it really hard. To prevent you from getting stuck in the heaviness of it, you know, like really thank it and find the beauty in it. Find the nourishment in the tears. Find the gratitude in the break that it gives you or whatever it is. Just find positives in unfortunate circumstances. Very important. Do things that bring you joy. And that also goes with spending time to yourself and just, you know, allowing yourself to do things that make you feel like you. Again, it'll promote that sense of safety and security. When you are feeling heavy and just need a quick shift, because empaths feel things so deeply, and again, just as with our other senses, if we're in a new environment, the information we receive changes. Sometimes just reading a funny book, watching a funny TV show, watching a funny movie, or scrolling down Instagram reels, whatever it is, finding something funny or joyful, something we like, and just immersing our senses in it is very helpful in just kind of reestablishing where we are, you know, to kind of pull us out of a hole. And then finally, because empaths are so sensitive to their environment, focus on how you feel about others and how they impact you. So this is something that I talk about a lot. You want to do something for somebody because you love them or you appreciate them. Like, don't do something concerned about how you're being perceived. Do something because you genuinely want to, because they matter to you. I saw this video that totally shifted my perspective. I'm just gonna play the video because he explains it so well. So on Instagram, his handle is @pissedmagistus.
How are some of y'all going around living life not caring what people think about you?
I just realized I never actually knew what you were thinking about me. I just knew what I thought you were thinking about me, which means I created a mean, judgmental version of you in my head and then used it to think mean things about myself, which means I made you mean in my head, which means I was being judgmental of you, not the other way around. Now I just assume people are nice. I just assume that they're cool. And if they act in some way that contradicts that, if they start being a total dick for no apparent reason, I assume that they're actually angry at themselves for something that they're then projecting onto me, just like I used to do. And then I forgive them and get on with my life.
Allow other people to show you who they are. Try not to judge yourself through them. Allow yourself to be free and to express freely. Again, do things because you want to and because they make you feel good. If the other person has an issue with it, they're a grown-ass adult and they can tell you. You know what I'm saying? But don't cut yourself off and judge yourself through somebody else. Don't abandon yourself through somebody else and don't judge them. You know, it's silly. Just do what makes you feel good and makes you feel like you, and that's all. Now we're going to talk about why being an empath is so great. There are so many things that I would see that would say like, oh, being emotional is your superpower. And I'd always get frustrated because I was like, well, this sure doesn't feel like it. Like, this sucks. This is really hard. But as I've gotten older, and especially in seeing the cats, I've started to understand and make the connection. So I want to talk about it. So empaths appreciate the little things. Because they experience everything in depth and are aware and tuned into all of the subtle little nuances around them, they are able to really just live life to the fullest, you know? Any little thing, a little bug flying off of a leaf or like the sunset, that stuff can bring so much joy. I can't tell you how many times at night I've gone to the beach to look at the moonlight on the water and just started crying because it was just so beautiful. You know, that stuff is so special. To be able to experience things and appreciate things to that degree is so special. We are here to feel and understand, and just having the capacity to, like, feel that, you know, is a really beautiful thing. With empaths, too, because you are so in close connection with the full range of emotions as a human, you start to find, like, the nourishment in tears and the power in anger, you know? It's like there are positive things that come out of negative emotions when approached properly, and not properly, that's the wrong word. There's just the possibility, like when you have emotional intelligence, you can find the power in heavier emotions, which is very beneficial and is very important information that can be taught to other people, especially right now in our world where everybody is very reactive and not wanting to be understanding. Being able to infuse situations with understanding and turning negatives into positives is very, very important. That transfiguration is so, so powerful and so needed right now. Empaths are very self-aware, so they tend to be more communicative. They are less reactive. They're more able to understand other people, which brings about a sense of healing for others. They're able to bond with others quickly. They are able to connect to the soul of things. They bring light and life force energy. They really just invigorate spaces with just pure love and source energy, which is very, very powerful. Empaths tend to be very, very healing. And yeah, the world, again, needs more of that. You know, that's why there are so many of us running around out there right now. Empaths are masters of self-care and finding the joy and the purpose and taking it slow and finding balance. This kind of goes back to the yin and yang concept. I forgot what podcast episode I spoke about. We discussed it with. Discussed it. Sorry, my words aren't working today. But basically, you can't have one without the other. You know, it's the divine masculine, divine feminine. They work together. And society is very masculine right now. There are practices that have been trying to really make a presence, like Taoism, that's more emphasizing the divine feminine, the go with the flow, in an effort to find balance in society so that there is more of a balanced experience here. And having a lot of people that are teaching about the importance of self-care, teaching the importance about balance, and teaching others how valuable it is to find stillness amongst the chaos, you know, just allows us as a collective to find a lot more harmony and raise in vibration. So empaths are really powerful teachers, all in all, very healing. They just bring so much love and light to the planet and to our experience as humans. And looking at these cats again, as they've been with us now for, I think, a month. Little Forest, where is he? I think he's around. He has just become the most sweetest ball of love. I have bonded with him so much in such a short amount of time. Like, he definitely feels like a soulmate. He's got so much personality and is so silly and is so smart, so observant. He does this thing when I walk, because every time he walks by me, I'll pat his butt. And so anytime I walk by him, he'll pat my leg every time. It's so silly. But he mimics behavior so much. And I've learned so much from him about just taking it slow. You know, he's not one that you can run up to and like force a connection with, because he's very timid. You go slow. And you share special moments and you bond, and he's just the sweetest, gentlest little thing. And he's just so open and feels so much and experiences so much. And it's changed my approach. And I feel like I really needed to see that. And I guess see the value in that, because I was trying to be a pan and just go with the flow and conform myself. And my body, that's when that wild animal thing was coming out. Because it's like, no, there's all this pent up stuff that you're ignoring. Just feel it. Just feel it and be it, and like make your environment conform to you. Stop doing all the work for it. It's a good reminder. So yeah, I've just kind of been taking more command. You know, I've got requirements and the environment needs to meet those requirements. Otherwise, they don't have to bask in my glory, you know, bask in my sunshine. And it's really helped me, I think, kind of revamp my purpose and my self-confidence and fall in love with myself, you know. There's been so much change going on, and I think I lost sight of, like, the soul. No, I don't even know. It's just like just who I am. You know, I've prioritized on like my mission and in action, but it's like the heart that's behind that, and like how I bring my essence to that, that matters. And it's just this whole thing has kind of brought me back into that space, which has been really cool. Okay. And then to end, because this is something that I recently realize and I feel like is very important, and I needed somebody to tell me, so I'm gonna tell you. Empaths don't like to be rushed. Stop rushing, empaths, okay? Empaths think more, they observe more, so they move slower because they are processing and intaking so much information at one time. So if somebody comes in and is like, we gotta go, let's go, or let's do this, rush, rush, chop, 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 you know, it's very easy to get overly stimulated. Empaths have a more sensitive central nervous system, which causes them to get overstimulated quicker. If there is a big shift in the environment, on their body, whatever it is, in their sensations and emotions, if there's a big shift, whatever, things can feel intense very quickly. So when somebody is trying to rush you, it is actually not effective. It just makes you short circuit, you know? So to help with that, make sure you really schedule out your day. Have a list of things you need to get done. prioritize it, because sometimes, again, if you're slower moving, totally fine. You may need an extra bit of time on something. So prioritize, like, these I have to get done, these if I have time, and these if there's nothing else to do. Put things, I do this at the start of my week every week. Prioritize your to-do list, schedule out your day, and give yourself extra time to just get things done so that you're not rushed and you can really just flow through. Again, very physically present, because when your body gets overstimulated and like shuts down, your emotions are either now the driver, you're at the hands of a drunk driver, or they're out of the car entirely if you just numb yourself. And then there's all this information and like insight that you're keeping out there that would help you actually be more efficient. So give yourself time. If you are in a situation where you don't have a lot of time and you're kind of getting stressed out, go back to grounding, setting up boundaries, go for a walk real quick, shake it out real quick, whatever you need to do just to get that excess energy off so you can come back into your body. Setting time limits is also very helpful. When you are working on tasks, empaths can be overachievers, perfectionists, you know? So just giving yourself certain time within a time frame so that you aren't so married to a perfect product, but you're also not just like throwing out quality for the sake of time. You know, find a nice balance so that you can really immerse yourself into whatever task you're doing, but you don't lose yourself in it or get, you know, it just doesn't get away from you. Time doesn't get away from you. Just set timers. And then if you need to do certain things alone, you know, like if you need to, I don't know, if you're prepping to go on a trip and you need to just pack by yourself because you'll get overwhelmed if like pets or spouses are around, because you're already thinking about like, what's the weather going to be like? What am I going to be doing? How's my body going to be feeling? What kind of clothing would best suit that? There's already so much that you're thinking about. That extra stuff can kind of make you a little bit unnecessarily stressed out. So don't be afraid to ask for alone time. Don't be afraid to say no. Again, if you want to put on something lighthearted in the background, like a TV show or a movie, I like to put on The Office. It just keeps me in a good mood. Or put on some music and dance to it. You know, move while you're doing something, just again to kind of keep that excess energy off. Go for it. But yeah, don't be afraid to tell people to stop rushing you. I just want to say that. Okay, and then final thoughts to wrap this whole thing up, this weird little word vomit. In my reflection on this stuff, I think it was 2 days ago, I was thinking about how unhardened I am, despite all of the hardness that I've been through. I was feeling kind of frustrated because I kept thinking that everything was a trauma response, and I was like, what the fuck's going on? Why am I so sensitive? I've been through so much shit, like I would have thought I'd be a lot stronger by now. And then it was like, wait a second. Well, yesterday I had the realization that actually you're just a human being feeling things, and that's okay. It's not always a trauma response. But then additionally, I'm not supposed to be hard. I need to be warm and gentle to bring a pureness into society. Like, that is my purpose. My purpose is to help people feel understood and to feel safe, to talk about the sticky stuff and to work through that, to go into the depths there and like clean it out and get out of it and be free from it, you know? I can't be hard if that is my purpose. I need to be gentle and open and flexible. There is nothing wrong with hardness. There is nothing wrong with that, like, powerful, you know, just the harsh 3D world. There's nothing wrong with that. But my purpose, as yours, if you are an empath or if this resonates with you, is to see the source, to see the light and the love behind that hardness, and to see how, like, it's just to see the beauty in it, you know, to see the purity of that and to really help other people see that as well and connect to that, instead of just getting lost in that very two-dimensional, like, hard. It's like, no, there's more to it. There's so much more depth and soul to things, you know? And it's time that we really connect to that. Especially as we're going into 5D, it's a very different type of connecting to our environment, you know? And this kind of is part of that, and we're helping usher new people into this kind of state of experiencing life. And just like Forrest has brought me so much joy and just peace and makes my heart so happy and feel so safe, we're meant to do that same for the people around us. So I'm sending you love. You got this. Being an empath is not for the faint of heart. You are strong. You got this. We're here for a reason. Help people see the soul in everything. I'm sending you so much love. Thanks for being here. I'll see you soon. Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Psychic Medium with me, Amber Amrine. To learn more about me, my work, and such, you can visit channelwithamber.com or follow me on Instagram at channelwithamber. A special thank you to Unicorn Heads for my theme song, A Mystical Experience. See you next time.